Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ. Good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what. Why? Because our Lord is good, and His mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One. And I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all glory and praise and worship and adoration to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church, located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give recognition and respect to my covering, my supporters and sponsors, and the founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day at your leisure on Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Odyssey, and of course many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in the Little One Food for Thought and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their study tools, all of the things that we get and use when we get together on Tuesdays and Thursdays to study together. And we'll be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. All right. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all the things that we use when we get together to study as a family of God on Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time, 11 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time and 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time. Amen. To God be all the glory for the great things He has done. We are the family of God, the body of Christ, and with one head, Jesus the Christ, the common denominator that links us all together, His love. And in Him, all is one. And we worship Him and we give Him glory and honor and recognize Him and reverence Him as the sustainer and the creator of all things and life. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Abba, we say thank you. We thank you for you just being who you are. We thank you for choosing to dwell in us, to dwell in the imperfect, flawed, small humankind. It is so special to have you in all your greatness and in all your glory. and in the fullness of who you are, living, dwelling, making your home and abode in us, humankind. You choose to dwell in imperfect vessels. And yet, because you dwell in us, we are made perfect through you, Lord Jesus, our Christ. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for allowing us to have the opportunity to communicate, commune, and fellowship with you, Almighty God, living God, alive and well. Thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them. Thank you for your faithfulness, for being a friend to us that sticketh closer than a brother, the one who we run to, the one who we lean on, trust in, and rely on, the one who we need and long for. The one who we heed and listen to. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your peace. We thank you, Lord, for all those who are listening, no matter where they are in the world. We pray for them. We pray for their families. We pray that you will heal every heart, every mind, every body. We pray that you will strengthen each and every one of them, one by one and name by name. We pray that you will comfort them, Holy Spirit. Comfort their mind, comfort their heart. Give them the resolve and the endurance that they need in their lives on this day to bring you glory in everything that they do. We thank you for your miracles being manifested in our lives. Supernatural answers. Unexpected moves by you, O God, to where we will only be able to say that this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my eyes. Lord, as your conduits, we ask that you hide us all behind the cross so that it is all of you and none of us that is seen, heard, and demonstrated. We bring you glory in all that we do, and you alone deserve it. Spirit, we thank you for your presence, for you alone are the teacher. And you bring us into all truth. We yield ourselves and our members to you. Speak to us, O God. Individually, as well as collectively. Move by your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for answered prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today we will be beginning a study in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is comprised of four chapters, but as we have we studied the book of James, we're going to begin studying the book of 2 Timothy on today and see what the Holy Spirit will have to give to us to meditate on. I will be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition as always, and we all can follow along in our translations as we always do when we get together to study the Word of God as a family. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's begin at verse 1. And we'll see how far the Holy Spirit will have us go today. But beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle or special messenger of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle, a special messenger of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. He could not do and be a special messenger or apostle unless it was according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. The fivefold, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the apostle. None of, and even everyone else that has not been given the fivefold, you know, it should be everyone that is given one of those titles, because we all are ministers. But we could not do the things that we do unless it was according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, and unless it was by the will of God. That's how Paul was an apostle and special messenger. It was by the will of God and according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. And he's writing to Timothy. Timothy is Paul's son in the gospel, which brings out the importance of mentorship, discipleship, by those who are in leadership, to those who are learning to be in leadership in the ministry. Paul took his time to write this letter to his son in the gospel. He sowed his time and words into Timothy. And he took his time doing it. When you sit down to write a letter, the words that are written on that page are words of sincerity and from the heart of the writer. And Paul, as an apostle, took his time to communicate to Timothy, his son in the gospel. He sowed into Timothy's life, even though they were far away. he took his time to impart into Timothy and to mentor him, teach him, instruct him, and impart in him wisdom. Verse 2 says, to Timothy, my beloved child. My beloved child. Look at how Paul cares for Timothy, his son in the gospel. He didn't just call him his child. He said, my beloved child. Which means everything he pours into him is important to him that Timothy gets what he is pouring into him. And it's also important that what he says to Timothy is by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus as an apostle or a special messenger from God of Christ Jesus. He says in verse 2, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, favor, and spiritual blessing, mercy, and heart peace from God the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen to those words he imparts into Timothy. Grace, favor and spiritual blessing, mercy and heart peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. He goes on to say in verse 3, I thank God, whom I worship with a pure conscience. Very important. Specific reason why the Holy Spirit had Paul to write that. I thank God whom I worship with a pure conscience in the spirit of my fathers, when without ceasing I remember you night and day in my prayers. This tells us what kind of apostle leader Paul is to Timothy. What kind of mentor he is. Because he said, when without ceasing, I remember you night and day in my prayers. In other words, I am laboring for you. I am interceding for you. I am seeking God for the words that I need to pour into you. As my beloved child, my son in the gospel. He says in verse 5, I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. These are things that Paul, as an apostle, have noticed and take note of Timothy. One thing a mentor does, a teacher watches and observes. And they care for the student, or in this case, Paul cares for his beloved son in the gospel. By taking the time to observe him and remember his sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of Timothy's entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. He would not have been able to say that by the Holy Spirit if he had not witnessed or experienced observing that in his beloved son in the gospel. And he says, a faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother. So Paul knew Timothy's grandmother, Lois. And that faith that was exemplified in Timothy lived permanently in the heart of his grandmother, Lois, and in the heart of his mother, Eunice, which Paul had an opportunity to observe and see and know. And then he says, and now I am fully persuaded that it dwells in you also. So the faith and the anointing and the teaching and everything that permanently dwelt in the heart of his grandmother, Timothy's grandmother, and in the heart of his mother, Eunice, also dwells in him. The anointing is transferable. The anointing of God is transferable from his family lineage. The call of God was on him and in him and instilled in him so that he can be who he is now, as Paul is writing to him. He said, I am fully persuaded, Paul says at the end of verse 5, that this faith, the faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and in the heart of your mother Eunice, the faith that Timothy is exemplifying, that Paul remembers, his sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning on his entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. So Paul has observed these things of his son in the gospel. He says in verse 6, after he says, I'm fully persuaded that this dwells in you also. He says, that's why I would remind you. Now he's beginning to impart into Timothy wisdom. He said, that's why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you, by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that was imparted in you, only from your grandmother, not only from your mother Eunice, but from me, an apostle, special messenger of God, and all of the elders that were with me at your ordination. Stir that gift up. The anointing that was transferred, the anointing that was activated, the anointing that was confirmed in you. Stir it up in what you do. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, verse 7 says. He's telling Timothy, listen, God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. He's encouraging Timothy. He's telling him, listen, remember your faith. I remember it. You remember it too. Remember the fire, the impartation, the transference of the anointing, the activation and confirmation of the gift that is within you. The gracious gift of God that is in you. Start up. And don't be afraid. For God did not give us the spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Paul is reminding Timothy, imparting in him, encouraging him. Verse 8, he says, do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord. And don't blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for me, your father in the faith, a prisoner for God's sake. He says, do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but with me. In other words, don't be afraid to testify of God, to testify of Christ, and to testify of me, your father in the faith. But what I want you to do, son, is with me, I want you to take your share of the suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you to, and do it in the power of God. He's telling Timothy, don't be afraid of their faces. Understand that the gospel that you bring exposes you to some suffering, because it has exposed me to some suffering. But as your father in the faith, I want you with me to take your share of the suffering, to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you, and do it in the power of God. Verse 9 says, for it is he who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself, holy and leading to holiness, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything of merit that we have done, but he did it because of and to further his own purpose. In other words, the gift that is in us, that God put in us as ministers in the gospel, he didn't give it to us because we deserved it. He didn't call us ministers because we're so special. He didn't give us this calling because we're unlike any others. But the reason why he gave us this gift, this calling, is because of and to further his own purpose, and to further his grace or his unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began eternal ages ago. In other words, don't lose focus of the reason why you are in the position that you are in. Your focus is Christ. And as long as your focus is Christ, as an apostle, I've been there. I've been through some things. I am suffering as well because of the gospel that I preach. But you, as my beloved son, whom I have imparted into, whom I have taken the time to sow time into, to love and care and teach and instruct and encourage you, take with me your share of the suffering. And in your suffering, remember, as you do and go forth in the power of God, don't lose sight of who delivered us and saved us and called us with a calling in itself, holy and leading to holiness, to a life of consecration. A vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything or of merit that we have done. We're not so special that he chose us just, you know, you're this and you're that, and because you're this and that, I'm going to give you this. No, we're in the service of him because of and to further his own purpose. We are in this service because of God, because of Christ. And we are to further Christ's own purpose and grace, unmerited favor, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began eternal ages ago. In verse 10, he goes on to say, it is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior Jesus, through our Savior Christ Jesus. His purpose and his grace he has now made known and has fully disclosed to us and made it real to us through the appearing of our Savior Jesus, of our Savior Christ Jesus. Our Savior Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death to light through the gospel of Christ. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, who God is, how we know him to be, what we have heard and seen. The will of the Father, who is the Son. Verse 11, Paul says, for the proclaiming of this gospel, I was appointed a herald preacher, an apostle, special messenger, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And verse 12, he says, and this is why I am suffering as I do. He says, still, I am not ashamed. For I know, perceive, have knowledge of, and am acquainted with him whom I have believed. So I preach this gospel, and I'm telling you, Timothy, as my beloved child in the ministry, to preach this gospel also. Preach this gospel also unashamedly. Because I know, I perceive, I have knowledge of, and am acquainted with him whom I have believed. I have a relationship with Christ Jesus. I know who he is. I know him to be real to me in my life. I have believed, I've adhered to and trusted in and relied on him. And I want you to understand the same thing. And I am positively persuaded that he, Christ Jesus, he is able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed to him until that day. He goes on to minister and impart into Timothy by the Holy Spirit. And he tells him, hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching which you have heard from me in all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus. My son, in the gospel, Paul is saying to Timothy, hold fast. Follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching which you have heard from me in all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus. You've seen my example. You've heard my teachings. You've listened. Attention. In all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus. He says in verse 14, guard and keep. Guard and keep. Guard and keep with the greatest care the precious and excellently adapted truth which has been entrusted to you by the help of the Holy Spirit who makes his home in us. The anointing was transferred and is transferable. The anointing of God from the Apostle Paul, a preacher, was imparted into Timothy and transferred. And now he is instructing Timothy, taking his time writing to him carefully and hearing from the Holy Spirit and knowing what to say to him as his son in the gospel to encourage him in the work that he is doing. God's mentors care for those who they mentor, and they impart wisdom, knowledge, and understanding by taking their time to sow their time by the leading of the Holy Spirit and caring for the well-being of their sons and daughters in the faith. You might say that discipleship is definitely an assignment from God. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this lesson, this pointing out of how we are to be, Father, as leaders and taking those under our wing to teach and impart and help. For we are all helpers one to another. Whether we have been given titles or not, we are all ministers one to another. And we are all disciple makers. For you have entrusted your gospel, your word, yourself, you, Lord Jesus, to us to give to all others. And we thank you for helping us and teaching us how to do this effectively in the lives of others to bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord continue to bless us. May the Lord continue to keep us. May the Lord continue to make his beautiful face shine upon us. May the Lord continue to be gracious to us. And may the Lord continue to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us. And may the Lord continue to give us all peace. His peace, his love, his joy, his patience, his gentleness, his meekness, his humility. Himself, his mind, his heart, his thoughts, his actions, the fullness of him that filleth us all in all. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying God bless you on this day. Pray for me as I pray for you until we meet again. Let the Holy Spirit minister to us about discipleship. Amen. To God be all the glory for the great things he has done. Until we meet again. Good God day.